What's up, everybody? We're back. You're back. I'm back. Hopefully you're not sick. But welcome back to the Stuck in Traffic podcast. I'm going to intro the music in between just so you guys don't get fucking sidetracked by 30 seconds of blaring music. I feel like that's a dick move. So today you'll hear Pop Smoke in the background. His new album that dropped, RIP, Young Man Murdered. Number one causing death among rappers is murder. Unfortunately, he's been taken from us too soon. So we're going to get to part two of My Two Sides. I appreciate you guys joining me. Let's get to it. Woo! Hope you guys enjoyed that little bit of music. RIP Pop Smoke. RIP the God Nipsey Hussle. Breonna Taylor. George Floyd. Sandra Bland. Trayvon Martin. You know, the list just unfortunately goes on for our community right now. And that's what I wanted to get to today. I wanted to get to the police reform, police discussion side of things. If you've been listening for a while, you probably know that I wear a uniform. I work for a federal agency. I don't do local. It's just federal. It's a lot of big picture stuff. But I have to wear two sides of that. I'm black. I'm half black. I'm half white. I'm black and I'm in uniform. And right now the call for justice right now is for everybody in uniform. That's the call for justice right now. It's police reform. And it has to happen. Right? The police reform has to happen. There's no going back. Right? There's no going back. We've come from, slavery to an American apartheid, which is Jim Crow, which apartheid in South Africa was based upon Jim Crow laws. And then we exit Jim Crow and we enter the modern age of oppression, right? Really the 13th Amendment era, right? That's really where we are. We are in the 13th era where, legislation that cannot specifically target African Americans. The language changed and the maneuvering, and now it is the police and the 13th Amendment, which allows for slavery. And you have to ask some questions, who wants to see poor black, brown, white minorities enslaved? And that would be the larger chain of corporations who have something to gain from they have something to gain from prisoners working cheap labor, right? That is the counter to sending jobs overseas to China, is to make the prisoners do the work. And you can't have workers without prisoners. So all of these things correlate. There is a corporate interest in the way laws are written and governed and enforced. And there's a combination of lawyers and corporations. I want to say it's the Association for Law Enforcement and Lawyers Enforcement and ALEC, I want to say. Something along those lines. And they get together and they create white papers. And if you don't know what a white paper initiative is the thought and idea of something coming to fruition for the government. Right? It's like any kind of business white paper. You always ask, where's the white paper in any investment or any kind of legal determination? I've done white paper initiatives for the military when it comes to, logistics initiatives, procurement and shipbuilding and item building and new guns, new weapons, platforms. It always starts on a piece of paper. We call it the white paper initiative. So in law enforcement, or at least not in law enforcement, we'll get to that, but in the law aspect, You know, corporations have a vested interest in that because it could affect them, right? And how they do business, where they get their business from. So right now, the way things are done is these lawyers and corporate lawyers and government lawyers and state lawyers, they all get together and they look at how the next version of a law will be written, and they submit that to, you know, their senators that they have in their pocket via donation campaigns, public donations, you know, super PACs, you know, Citizens for America or Citizens United. You know, they have all of that going on for themselves. And in turn, that is how they want to keep, that is how they keep a stranglehold on the common man, is by, okay, if we, you know, if we don't update this law, it allows for this enforcement, which, you know, turn around, it creates a bottom line for us. You know, if you look at, let's see, if you look at the companies who are invested in prison labor, right? It was JCPenney's, it was Sears, it was Ford, it was furniture makers, the Defense Department, that's who puts together fucking missiles and shit. I mean, it's public knowledge. The problem is the public doesn't have knowledge of it. That's the crazy part. All of this shit is public knowledge. And we live in I don't want to go off on a tangent, but we live in a fucking society where you have more computing power in your fucking phone than you have, like, thousands of times more computing power in your phone than NASA did for the entirety of the entire space mission in the 70s. Right? So you take all the computers NASA had, all that computing power, to build a fucking rocket that was going to take them to another planet or to a moon, right? All of that computing power, you have all of that in your phone, you know, to the 10th power. Yet we feel like we are so misinformed on subjects that have information out there because you feel like, oh, this is fake, when these are vindicated publications. And that's where in the last episode I talked about objective truths. And you have to find objective truths. And you have to live by that in the sense of how you're informed is objectively, right? You cannot be informed openly. You need to be informed objectively. And what I mean by objectively is that you... Here we go, fucking... Sorry about that interruption. That was what do you call those people? The warranty people are back to work, you know? That's how you know the world's getting back to normal a little bit. The warranty people are calling you in the middle of the day. But, you know, you have the power, you have an unlimited tap of knowledge at your fingertips. And you guys gotta get informed, man. You have to be informed. You have to. It is imperative that you have critical thinking skills, right? That you know when to speak and when not to speak. And when you do speak, it is informed and it is powerful, right? You have to be powerful in your speeches, in your movements, and how you move and how you talk, how you present yourself. So if you look at all this stuff and you see, okay, well, the corporate system is set up to benefit off of the justice system, right? So the justice system is going to position itself, right, to be very enforcement regulated rather than restorative, right? Right? Rather than justice seeking, they're enforcement seeking. They should be the Department of Enforcement because that's all they want to do is enforce, enforce, enforce. They're not serving justice, right? Because people, look at where we are. You have a population of people who are basically targeted because the color of their skin and the history that they that was dropped upon their lap, and that we as black people are expected to just figure it out and be like the white man. And it's not the case, man. It's not the case. We're not white people, right? That's a big factor here. We're not white, so we don't have white solutions, because the white solution does not work for black people. Because look at where we are. We are a product of a white solution. they needed structure. They needed workers. They needed hands. They needed bondage. They needed slavery. That is a white solution. And now we, as African Americans, are the byproduct of that. So, you know, the justice system is targeting black, brown, and white, poor white people. It's an easy layup for them, right? Poor people don't have resources. All of this shit is set up. Like, that's, like, it's all set up, man. If you really just sit back and look at how the justice system is positioned itself to give you shitty public defenders, poor funding to public initiatives, right? Poor people can't afford a fucking lawyer. Hell, I'm a blue-collar person. You know, I make decent money, and I can barely afford a lawyer my fucking self. You know, so you look at how the legal system is set up. It is set up for people with wealth. You know, it is set up for people with wealth, and then within that wealth is divided. You know, are you an athlete? Okay, well, you're just a black kid who made it. Are you a black cop? Okay, now we're going to look out for you. Are you a black judge? Well, now we're going to look out for you. Well, how about a Spanish judge or a Spanish cop or a you know. You see what I'm saying? Like, it gets divided the higher you go. And eventually it gets to just the fact that you're white and powerful and wealthy. Nothing can happen to you. Right? And the problem is that the scale that, if you look at the lady, the lady of justice or whatever her fucking name is missing me right now. She has a blindfold on and she's holding a scale. And the problem with that right now is that the wrong things are being weighed. Right? The wrong things are being weighed. They're weighing status. They're weighing power. They're weighing wealth. They're weighing who you are, where you are, where you're from, rather than the crime you've committed. Right? Versus what? Right? You put yourself here. I am a human. I have done wrong. In the eyes of justice, this is what is weighed upon me. This is what is weighed upon me as a person in the justice system. I have done wrong. So that's the inherent issue right now, is that justice is not blind. They're weighing the wrong things. You know, it's structured to target poor, black, brown, and white people. And one more than the other right now. So you go from, now let's transition to a justice system set up to profit, and now you transition to the police. And the police are set up for power. That's all they care about, is power, right? For the most part, it's just a power thing, right? I have authority by the government deigned upon me. I have sworn an oath to uphold the law and order of this country, right? That is what they do, right? They swear an oath to law and order, right? So you have the police who now are in the enforcement side of things. They're enforcing shit rather than, you know, policing, right? Policing and enforcement are two different things. Policing is being a part of the solution, right? Hey, I see paper on the floor, police the paper up. I pick it up. Why? Because it's for the good of everybody. So if you police your neighborhood, hey, we're gonna shut down this, you know, we're gonna hit the drug houses, you know, we're gonna show face, we're gonna be a part of the community, we're policing the community. Enforcement is you actively targeting and seeking, right? Enforcement is a military term. You know, in the military, when we enforce things, we don't fuck around. All right, we're going to enforce international law. We're going to enforce the rules and regulations of the country that we're assisting when we're in country. Right? That means guns and men who are trained to kill people are going to be jumping out of planes in the middle of the night, and they're going to kill people. That is what they do. That is the basic boiled down principle of the military. We enforce the United States ideals and purposes around the world. We enforce that. That means we press upon others, right? And the police enforce laws. They call it law enforcement officer. That means the law that is written, they're going to take and seek out someone possibly breaking a law, right? Now, all of that sounds like it should happen. Right? Yeah, you get a speeding ticket, you're speeding, you get a ticket, right? That's a speed trap. You go to court and you fight it. But what happens when enforcement is no longer innocent in its own value, right? Because I don't want to make a point where I solve it myself, right? I want you guys to think. What happens when enforcement is no longer innocent in itself, right? If somebody murders somebody, you enforce the law. You go arrest them, right? But when it turns into what we've seen lately, where enforcement isn't a matter of after the fact, it's becoming before the fact for the police, right? It's assuming guilt until innocent. It's the judge, jury, executioner mindset that we're seeing live on TV, where a black person or a brown person is seen as a terrorist almost, is seen as the devil, is seen as the Antichrist, as seen as such a dangerous, you know, person to the police that they have to beat your fucking ass and kill you in the street in the middle of detaining you. Like, where the fuck are we right now? Where are we? Getting shot by the cops for a speeding ticket. Getting shot by the cops when they tell you, hey, I need to see your concealed weapons license. And you reach in your pocket to give it to them. And he shoots you 9 times. Live on Facebook. He shoots you to death with your children and wife in the car after you follow his instructions. And you see the look on his face. He wanted to murder him. He was waiting for that one fucking opportunity to get blood on his hands and say, I'm one of them. I killed one of these motherfuckers. I got somebody. See, the police don't look at civilians as their constituents. They look at them as the enemy. Because they have this military mindset, and they're not a military force. They're a police force. It is a minimal interaction. But yet they have this maximum effort for minimal shit. And it's not equaling out. It doesn't balance. I'll give you a prime fucking example. You look at Ramadi, right? You look at Fallujah. You look at the original war in Iraq, right? And this is from the words of people that I aspire to be like, or I take advice from. People who have done way more than I have in my military career. You know, General Petraeus had a problem in Fallujah. He had a problem in Ramadi. He had a problem in a lot of these cities where the war was coming to a head and they were trying to sway the population. And what the military was doing was they were kicking down the fucking door. They were kicking, like, they would kick the door down, right? They would kick the fucking door down. You'd have 50 fucking hyped up, ready to kill Marines running there. People start yelling and screaming, and now the energy has been started at 100. Right? The energy started at 100. And now the energy's gone to 1,000 because the family is now reacting. The man of the home is now reacting. The same reaction you would have if your door got kicked down at 2 o'clock in the morning or at 11 o'clock while you're having the last tea or last prayer with your family or whatever happens. And the door kicks down and people with guns, and you're in a war zone where your people who look like you are trying to murder you for no fucking reason, right? Where bombs are going off in the market and they're blowing up schools and they're kidnapping families, and a terrorist organization has literally taken over your city and women are being raped and murdered. Now the people who are supposed to come save you kick down your fucking door, beat your ass, kill your son, take your fucking family, tie you all up just to ask, are you a terrorist? Now you do the math. What has just happened? They have just created terrorists. And it resulted in car bombings, roadside bombings, soldiers being shot by kids, right? Soldiers trying to be kidnapped and murdered. It turned up the tensions. It radicalized the population. That is what is happening with the police. It is the same thing. That is what has happened. The police have radicalized the population to vindicate their own actions and their own militarization, their own billion-dollar budgets, right? The need for MRAPs from the fucking Largo Police Department, right? In Largo, Florida. Have you ever been to fucking Florida? There's nothing going on out here. This ain't fucking cocaine cowboys, Miami-Dade shit. Yeah, there's some violent crimes that happen that can be solved by fucking detectives. Okay? We don't have terrorist shit going on down here, man. We've had 2 fucking terrorist acts. 2! We got more school shootings than we do terrorist acts. Yet the fucking police think they need an MRAP. Are you kidding me? This is all chain effects, man. The police want the population to be hostile. They want this environment. They know it's okay to kill black people. Because black people, all they're going to do is march. And they know we can't do nothing. But now, the problem is everyone else is caught on. For them. The problem for them is everyone else is caught on. And now they have no choice. They have no fucking choice but to change. They can't go back. There's no going back. And a lot of police departments realize that. I have people, I have reserve guys who are, I have a reserve guy who's the chief of goddamn police in Illinois, in a small town in Illinois. He's the chief of fucking police. And he's already said, we are going to change. Because it's a matter of, okay, when do you start to police yourself? And that is a prime example. That is what General Petraeus did. He said, you know what? We're not kicking down the doors anymore. We're not. No Humvees, no fucking hopped up 19-year-old Marines not understanding what's going on and killing someone. None of that. No, none of that. Roll that shit back. I want senior leaders knocking on doors. I want you to roll up and knock on the fucking door. Treat them like fucking human beings. In the middle of a goddamn war, the entire military changed its positions from enforcement to policing. You know what? We're just going to try and police this a little bit better. We're going to knock on the fucking door and ask them, hey, look, you know, we're here to help you. We're trying to create a green zone here. What's going on? What do you have for us? Who do you want us to get rid of? Who is the bad guy? Can you tell us what's going on? You know, if we have a green zone, if we can enforce a green zone, you guys will be okay. That is how the green zone was created, by knocking on the fucking door. Now, war isn't perfect, and neither is the motherfucking military. We are a flawed organization, but we fucking try, okay? We try our damnedest to uphold every value that we feel America should be. And there's scandals, and there's bad people in the military who get weeded out. It happens. We have an internal system of people whose specific job, who their one job is to investigate and prosecute military members in the military court system, which is one of the scariest places you ever want to fucking go, because you may never see the light of day again. I know 3 people right now who have gone through that and lost everything off probably offenses that could have been beaten. In the civilian world, they're fucked, right? For the rest of their lives. So, you know, you have to look at how do we police ourselves? If General Petraeus can shift the entire mindset of the U.S. military, right? Right? If he can change their entire mind. I'm going to turn this down a little bit. If they can change their entire fucking mind in the middle of a fucking war, right? The police can do the same, but it needs to take a unified, there needs to be a federal unifying police code that enforces that upon the police. Because inherently the police are not a fluid single body, right? If you drive from New York to Miami, you drive through about 80 different police jurisdictions. 80 different police who all have different interpretations, who all interpret and do things differently in their county, because they have the autonomy to do that. Because there's a separation of state and federal government abilities. And that is the problem. It's become the problem, right? That is the problem right now, is that the police are too independent. They're too independent. They're too independent. And that is the problem. The military is not an independent organization. If you look at how we work, we are all under the guise of the United States Code of Military Justice and the non-judicial punishment system, right? So there's NJP and then there's UCMJ. NJP is more like an administrative action, right? Right? It's an administrative action. That's what that is, right? It's administrative. It's you fucking getting a DUI. You get NJP and UCMJ, right? Or let's say you're late to work a bunch of times. You get NJP. Or you cuss somebody out and they reported you. Your command writes you up for fucking, you know, cussing someone out. That's NJP, right? And that goes on your record and it shows and it can affect advancements and things of that nature. But a lot of that stuff you can turn around. Right, UCMJ is a bit more real because that is a law, right? That is a law you have broken with inside the military, an oath that you agreed to, a contract you agreed to. And the police do not have that in the sense of regular laws here that we have, and then they have departmental codes, right? But there needs to be a unifying police code of justice that the federal government, right? The federal government creates a police court, right? There needs to be a police court where the judges are civilian, not police judges, right? Not elected judges, but judges who are elected from local run. They're elected judges. I'm probably confusing myself. I'm confusing myself here because I don't understand circuit courts. They're a little bit confusing, right? But again, let's say you have an elected judge for the police court. Right, and you have you're essentially replicating the military court system for the police, right? And you can send police officers to federal prison, which would be Leavenworth, right? They can be put into police brigs, right? Because the military members don't go to regular jail, right? We go to something called the brig, and that is a military ran installation. That's a jail for the military, and the police can do the same thing, if not share the same jail as. You know, as the military, just so that it's something that's established, right? The reality of a lot of this stuff is that the police don't have accountability. There's not a lot of accountability, and there's not a lot of forced accountability. There's a lot of things that have to change. And accountability is one, and a very steep cliff that they fall off if they go outside the bounds of the police code of justice. That has to happen. The police code of justice has to happen. It needs to be, okay, the federal government will not allow you as a police department to exist without you agreeing to follow the police code of justice as a baseline. As a baseline, right? Then you can have the non-judicial punishments within, where complaints from civilians and other officers are sought out in the military court or in the police court system, but at an administrative level. You know, like, we have to get to a point of unifying what the use of enforcement is, the police code of justice. That has to happen. Some form of that has to happen where it's a unifying federal effort, where it's almost a carbon copy. You just have to go into the UCMJ and change a few things. And it's done for you. You know, the police code of justice is going to be a little bit more tricky because look at how powerful they are. Look at the Fraternal Order of Police, right? You have a non-law enforcement organization that is just simply like the Freemasons, that has gathered police officers in a single point of focused power to push on the mayors, to push on the chief of police, to say, hey, look, I got 50 officers who will walk today, and I'll get them hired somewhere else if you don't fucking get so-and-so's case tossed, or if you don't look the other way for this, or you don't, you know, it's the fucking mafia. And I'm not going to get a lot of love for this fucking, this podcast, because I have friends who are police officers. I'm in federal law enforcement. But see, it's different from the Coast Guard, right? I'm going to say it. I'm in the Coast Guard. It's different for us, right? We, as federal law enforcement officers who, and I'm not a boarding officer. I'm not a federal law enforcement officer myself. I am not. I work for an agency that has them. But for an organization that fights transnational narcotics criminals, right? Narco terrorists, people who murder 50,000 people a year in Mexico. We have not killed anybody. Do you understand that? We have not physically and purposefully shot somebody. Okay? Now, narcos may have died on accident. Accidents happen in a fucking chase. But for the most part, we have not killed anyone where we have drawn guns and shot and not murdered, but shot and killed a narco. That has not happened because we have enforcement, right? It's understanding that you're in the middle of the ocean. There's a big white ship full of angry fucking sailors, and they're sending the best people they got on a rib boat to chase down your fucking submarine that you've been in for 4 days. You probably ran out of food and water, and you just want a hot fucking meal, and your ass probably don't want to do this to begin with. Like, we understand that a lot of the people who are on these drug running craft, at least from like Mexico and moving up right through Venezuela and stuff, a lot of these people don't really, one, they may not have a fucking choice to get this done. Two, they've been bribed into doing it. Their family members get, like, we know all this shit. We know how the game works. It's a rat race. It's an intelligence fight. We get all that. So for us to bust listen, this is all public knowledge, right? As an anti-drug agency, we annually, we bust more drugs annually in 1 year. I'll say FY18, I think, was $5.5 billion. That 1 year is more cocaine, marijuana, or whatever captured by the United States Coast Guard than every single law enforcement, federal law enforcement, drug law, every single one. You can take all of them. There's hundreds of them. Take all of them. Take all the drugs they've captured over the last 5 years. The last 5 years. And put it in one room. We did that in 1 year. And probably more than that. And we have killed nobody. So explain to me how you die in a traffic stop. Explain it. It does not make sense. You should not be murdered in a traffic stop. If we are not killing people on a boat with guns running fucking cocaine across the ocean, how the fuck can you murder someone at a traffic stop? It does not make sense. It does not make sense. There is no justification for it. I felt threatened. Okay. I felt fucking threatened. Have you been in that situation? Explain it. Because there is no explanation. It is poor policing. It is poor training. It is poor culture. It is good cops being silent, allowing bad cops to reign. It is poor leadership. It is bad leadership. You are who your leadership says you are. You are who your leadership says you're allowed to be. That's how it works. That is how it works. If the command says, hey, weapons free, well, a lot of people are fucking dying on that mission. Okay? But that's not how we fucking do things, man. That's not how we do things. We don't just fucking kill people because... You know what's even crazier than that? Is that we don't even kill people, not because of them being terrorists, which we have authorization, right? You have authorization to, if you feel threatened in a situation where you're in the middle of the fucking ocean, you got your guns, they got their guns, and they're sitting on $100 million worth of fucking cocaine, and they know their families will be murdered back in Colombia or Venezuela or wherever the fuck this stuff is coming from. They know this. They know if they don't get that cocaine to the United States, their families are fucking dead. Not a single shot fired. But somehow, you get pulled over for a taillight and you're fucking murdered. I want you to understand how much training... like, how much training is paid... Like, the military... And I want to paint you guys a clear picture. The military trains more than anything else. Anything. All right, we're going to take a pause here. This is going to be minute 35. So we're going to take a pause. I'm picking up my son from his mother right now. So we're going to take a pause. I appreciate you joining me today. We're going to get back to this. This is going to have to be a part three. We're going to get back to this, though. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you for joining the Stuck in Traffic podcast. You know, again, just get out there. Get involved, man. Get involved. You don't have to be a fucking activist and all. Just get involved. Say something. Talk to your kids. Talk to your family members who inherently don't understand what's going on and make stupid-ass posts and inflame and keep pouring fuel on the fire. Talk to them. Talk to them. Okay? It's okay to talk. It's the only way we're going to get through these things is if we fucking talk. All right. So again, thank you for joining the Stuck in Traffic podcast. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry for getting heated, man, but this means a lot to me. You know, this really means a lot to me. I love you guys. Please stay safe. Again, you can reach me on the internet at Crown4QH, on Twitch, on fucking Twitter, on Instagram, wherever. You know, don't be afraid to throw a follow and jump in the chat, and we can pick this up anytime you guys want. But for today, Stuck in Traffic is going to come to an end. I really appreciate it. I'll join you guys next time.